we living in the last days? Is the return of Christ near? Hey, is this the generation that will experience the rapture, the tribulation, and the second coming of Jesus? Good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. I'm Pastor Jeff Shreve. I'm the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries. From His Heart is heard every weeknight at 6 p.m. Central Time right here on American Family Radio. And I want to thank you for joining us. I wanted to read to you from the book of Matthew. There's a very interesting passage of scripture in the book of Matthew as Jesus talks about the end times and he talks about his coming. And he says this, I had it up and now it's gone. Here it is. He said, but of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone, talking about his return. And then he says this, Matthew 24:37, for the coming of the Son of Man will be just like the days of Noah. For in those days which were before the flood that destroyed the whole world, they were eating and drinking, they were marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. And they did not understand until the flood came and took them all away, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. It'll be just like the days of Noah. I'm in a series at our church on Wednesday nights. It's in the book of Genesis. I've entitled it In the Beginning. And we've been talking about the days of Noah in the last couple of weeks. We've been talking about Genesis 6. We've been talking about the flood. And last night, as I preached, we talked about Noah, a man called Noah. Noah, the guy who found favor and grace in the eyes of the Lord. You know, there are some preachers, one in particular, I'll not mention his name, but he's kind of this shock jock type of preacher. And he said this about Noah. He said, Noah responded to God's kindness by getting drunk and passing out naked in his tent like a hillbilly redneck on vacation. And, you know, his church laughed. They thought that was so funny. I want you to think about Noah, and we want to focus this program today on the coming of the Lord and specifically on what we're supposed to do. I've entitled this, Dare to Be a Noah. Now, we've heard the expression, dare to be a Daniel, and Daniel, obviously one of the greatest men who has ever lived, one of the greatest in Scripture, but Noah is right there with Daniel. As a matter of fact, Ezekiel 14:26, the Lord picks out three people who were prayer warriors, three people who walked with God, and he says, Noah, Daniel, and Job. If Noah, Daniel, and Job were here before me, they could only deliver themselves. They couldn't deliver anybody else, and God is talking about judgment coming. But Noah is a heavy hitter. He's not a drunk hillbilly passed out in his tent like a redneck on vacation. That is just such a blasphemous thing to say about Noah. So Noah lived at a time where the end was near, and the end came in his days as God brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly. And the Bible says that in the midst of everything being so wicked, Genesis 6:5, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. I mean, there's not a break in the mind being committed to evil. And the Lord was sorry that he made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. It pained him in his heart as he looked out upon the earth and just saw rottenness and corruption. And the Lord said, I will blot out man whom I have created from the face of the land, from man to animals to creeping things and to birds of the sky, to anything whose breath of life was in his nostrils. For I am sorry that I have made them. And then it just jumps out at you. But Noah found favor, found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the records of the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his time, Noah walked with God. The Lord doesn't describe him as a drunk hillbilly, redneck on vacation, passed out in his trailer. He's a righteous man, blameless in his time, and in his time was wicked like we have never seen before. Now, I believe, as Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. I believe that we are in the beginning stages of the days of Noah, and the days of Noah were days of corruption, of rottenness, of depravity, of debauchery, and they were days of tremendous violence. It says in Genesis 6:13, then God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence because of them, and behold, I am about to destroy them with the earth. The violence in our world is starting to reach a fever pitch. I think many of us were aware last night in Memphis, Tennessee, there was a man live streaming or Facebook living his random killings. And that man's name was Ezekiel Kelly, 19 years old, a violent felon. He killed, I think it was four or five. I've seen four and five posted, but at least four people, wounded three others, just randomly just driving by and stopping and opening a door of a convenience store or wherever he was. I saw a video of it and just shot twice this person. They finally arrested him. You know, he had already been arrested for attempted first-degree murder with a deadly weapon. They plea bargained that down to aggravated assault. He had a three-year sentence. He only served 11 months of the three-year sentence. He's been out for 6 months, and now he went and killed four others and wounded three last night in a crime spree that rivals few others. That it's just horrible what is going on in our world. It is just becoming more and more angry, more and more violent, more and more corrupt, more and more upside down. One of the verses that we refer to often on Real Truth for Today is Isaiah 5:20. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter, light for darkness and darkness for light. And that's the world in which we live in today. Everything is turned on its head. We support the criminals, and we give criminals, violent criminals, a slap on the wrist, get them back out there in society so that they can do more damage. And what do? We go after the people that are abiding by the law. We turn loose the 87,000 IRS agents on those who are abiding by the law. We live in an upside-down world. Well, Noah lived in an upside-down world. Noah's the only guy on the earth that found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Now, how many people are on the earth at this time in Genesis chapter 6? Now, remember this. You do a timeline from the time of creation. You know, Adam was made. Adam and Eve were made on the sixth day of creation. The Bible doesn't know anything about evolution, never speaks about evolution. It just knows about creation. God spoke the worlds into existence just like he said, and the world is not billions and billions and billions of years old. The world is probably around 6,000 years old, somewhere around there, 6,500, when you do the timeline. Now, people say, well, we're carbon dating and we date the earth, blah, blah, blah. Hey, God didn't make an earth that looks like, you know, it just started. He made it mature, just like Adam and Eve were mature. So there's no way to carbon date the earth and come back and say, well, it's millions and millions of years old. What if God made it on the 6 days of creation and just boom, here's the earth and everything looks mature, and whereas it would take it millions of years perhaps to get to that age, God made it that way. Adam and Eve were sure not infants when they were created. They were full-grown, mature individuals. So All that stuff, I think you can throw it out the window. Let God be found true, though every man be found a liar. I'll believe what the Word of God says, and this is what God says happened. And Noah came on the scene, and the flood came on to the earth in 1656, 1656 years from the time of creation until God destroyed the world with a flood. Now, how many people were on the earth at that time? Answers in Genesis has a lot of good information regarding this. And they say, impossible to know for certain, they say maybe as small a number as 750 million, maybe as large a number as 4 billion. I was listening to a message by Dr. John MacArthur. He said he thinks there were probably about 7 billion people on the earth. People lived long lives, 900 plus years. So you didn't have the death rate like we have today. And just to give you a perspective, in 1850, worldwide population was 1.2 billion. 100 years later, 1955, 105 years later, 2.5 billion. So in those 105 years, it doubled. From 1955 to 1980, the worldwide population was 4.5 billion. And in 2022, the estimated population is 8 billion. 8 billion. So we have jumped from just inside of 200 years, from 1.2 billion to 8 billion. So you can imagine 1,656 years with people living long lives and having lots and lots and lots of children, the population easily could have been 4, 5, 6, 7 billion people. And God destroyed everyone except Noah and his wife and his three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and their wives, eight people, and then the animals that were saved in the ark. Noah was a righteous man. Noah was a blameless man. Noah walked with God, and he did all of those things by faith. Noah, is one of the most courageous people who ever lived, because Noah had the courage to stand alone. Noah had the strength of character and the strength of faith to say, God, I believe you. Even though I'm the only one, along with my family, I'm going to believe your word. I'm going to stand up for Jesus, so to speak, in an Old Testament way. Stand up for you, Lord. I'm going to do what you say. And God called him to do something that on a human level seemed insane. Noah, you're going to build an ark. You're going to build this huge, gigantic box. And it's 450 feet long, and it's 75 feet wide, and it's 45 feet high. And there has never been another ship like that built, another kind of box like that, something of that size, until the 1800s. 1800s AD, you have a vessel that's built for the ocean that's as big or bigger than the ark. But for all those thousands of years, you didn't have that. This thing is massive, and God told him to build it. And the other thing that's shocking is the Bible kind of indicates that it never rained before the flood. And so Noah is building this ark, this box, in reverence to God, because he called him to do it, and he's telling people about a flood that's coming, and God is going to judge the world, and no doubt he's getting laughed at, he's getting mocked. People are saying, well, Noah, what is rain? The mist used to rise from the ground to water the plants, as it says in Genesis 2. So they probably didn't know what rain was, they didn't know what a flood was, and here Noah is preaching about a flood and about judgment and building this massive structure in the middle of the land. I mean, it's just an insane thing, but he did it by faith, and everything that God said was going to happen, happened. And so we're talking today about Noah. Dare to be a Noah. You're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. We're going to take a break. We'll be back. Don't go away.
In the book of Isaiah, the word tells us, "The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever." In the same way, without careful planning, your financial goals could blow away like the seeds of a dandelion. It's never too early or too late to consider how a charitable gift annuity can help you meet the financial goals you've set for your loved ones, your causes, and yourself. Give AFA Foundation a call at 800-326-4543, extension 345, or visit our website, afafoundation.net. Let us explain how a charitable gift annuity can help you achieve your goals. As we read in Proverbs, the plans of the diligent lead to profit. Our phone number again is 800-326-4543, extension 345. And our website is afafoundation.net.
Today's culture is opting for entertainment rather than biblical enlightenment. For those who resist that trend, Friends of Israel shows listeners why loving the Jewish people and supporting Israel is important to the Christian faith. Friends of Israel shares biblical truth about Israel and the Messiah and promotes solidarity with the Jewish people.
This is Chris Katulka of the Friends of Israel Today radio program, heard each weekend on this station, and here's what's happening in Israel.
Friends of Israel, Saturday afternoon at 2, here on American Family Radio.
Sandy Rios wants to make sure you have all the facts.
The enemy right now is Ted Wheeler. Ted Wheeler became an enemy because he pled with the community to assist in unmasking rioters and members of Antifa. He's asking the public to identify people involved in this, and now they're freaking out, so now they're threatening him with his own life.
Sandy Rios in the morning, weekdays at 7 Central on AFR. If you miss it, catch up anytime with the podcast at afr.net.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. The story of Jonah is a lesson in humility. He was a prophet, and as a prophet, he was supposed to speak the Lord's Word. But when the Lord wanted to send him to Nineveh, Jonah tried to run away. What he didn't consider is that the Lord is everywhere. There is nowhere we can go to get away from him. And when he is determined to love you, that is good news. Like Paul says in Romans 8, not death, not life, height, depth, angels, demons, or anything else can separate us from the love of Christ. We might run, but we can't hide. Christ's love remains. His love remains with us no matter what we're walking through. Spend more time with Jesus. Visit GetAnchored.com.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. I'm Pastor Jeff Shreve. We're talking about this subject, Dare to Be a Noah. You've probably heard the phrase in the, I think it was a book study, Dare to Be a Daniel. Well, Dare to Be a Noah. Noah is one of the greatest men in the Old Testament. You know, Noah gets quite a bit of time and space. He's mentioned over 50 times in the Bible. He's mentioned 8 times in the New Testament, and this is what the Bible says about Noah in the New Testament. He makes the hall of the faithful, Hebrews chapter 11. It says, by faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen in reverence, prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Genesis chapter 6, verse 9, that says Noah was a righteous man. He was blameless in his time, and he walked with God. And he did all those things by faith, because without faith, it's impossible to please God. And don't ever get the idea that Noah's this guy who's a cut above. Noah found grace and favor in the eyes of the Lord because he was something special. That's not what the Bible tells us. Noah was a sinner. There is none righteous, not even one, Romans 3:10 tells us. So Noah is not a righteous man in and of himself. He's righteous because of his faith. Noah, just like Abraham, believed God, and his faith was counted for righteousness. Noah believed God. He responded to God. Of the billions of people on the earth at the time of Noah and at the time of the flood, he's the only guy who responds to the Lord. The scripture says in Proverbs 1:24, the Lord says, "Because I called and you refused, I stretched out my hand and no one paid attention. Then calamity is going to come." I've said before, just this week, when we were talking about when does judgment come, God doesn't like to judge. God wants to save. But judgment comes, and the flood came to the antediluvian world and destroyed everyone and everything, save the people on the ark and the animals on the ark. Judgment comes when the world becomes irredeemable, when no one will respond to God. There's no point in continuing to move forward when no one will respond. As Don Meredith used to sing, "Turn out the lights, the party's over." That's it. And the Lord will bring judgment when that happens. Now, if you remember, and this is just shows how wonderful God is, how merciful He is, how patient He is, how compassionate He is, the book of Jonah. As Jonah preached to the Assyrians who lived in Nineveh. Nineveh is the capital city of the Assyrians. The Assyrians were horrible people. They were ruthless and wicked and pagan. Yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. That's Jonah's sermon. Obviously, he probably said some other things there too, but that's the crux of it. And what did they do? They responded to Noah and to his preaching, and they put on sackcloth and ashes, and they fasted, and they sat in the ashes, and they called upon God, and they cried out for mercy. And when God saw how they responded to Him, He didn't do what He said He was going to do. He relented, because God is a good God, and God responds to repentance. And when judgment is determined and people get right and people repent, just like they did in Nineveh, then what does God say? Well, I'm not going to bring judgment, because God didn't send the Son into the world, John 3:17, to condemn the world. He sent His Son into the world that the world might be saved. He is the light of the world. And if you will come to the light and confess your sins to Him, you can be forgiven. But the scripture says in John 3, men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil, so they don't come to the light. Well, Noah is the only one and his family who came to the light, who responded to God's grace, who put their faith and trust in God and His word. And it was a tremendous faith, a tremendous trust, because he began to build that massive structure. It took him at least 100 years. I have a little bit of trouble understanding the timeline there. It says in Genesis 6:3, "My spirit shall not strive with man forever, yet his days shall be 120 years. And then it says in Genesis 5 that Noah was 500 years old when he became the father of three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And then we know he was 600 years old when he got into the ark. So I'm not sure if it was 120 years building the ark or 100 years building the ark. It was at least 100. It took him a long time. And Noah is called, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, he's called a preacher of righteousness. Noah's not just a builder of the ark, this massive box. It was really, if you've been to the Ark Encounter, I have not yet been there, but I've seen a lot of pictures and I'm looking forward to going. You see how massive this structure was. And for a guy in his day, in his age, to build that kind of a vessel with some kind of tongue and groove construction is just amazing. And so, but he's not just building the ark, he's also preaching. He's a preacher of righteousness, and he's telling people about the flood, and he's standing up and letting people know that judgment is coming. God is holy, 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 and judgment is coming because of their sin. And the ark, which is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's the ark of rescue, the ark of safety, the ark of salvation. And the only way that you can not get swept up in judgment is to enter the ark while there is still time, while the door of the ark is open. But nobody did. You know, I think about that song and the massive size of the ark. It was massive for the animals, yes, but it wasn't like every square inch was taken up. There was room in the ark for people. One of the reasons it was so big is God made it big enough for lots of people, but people didn't come. We sing that song in church sometimes, there's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. Noah was a preacher of righteousness, a man of faith, a man who believed God regardless of the laughing, the mocking, the scoffing that he received. And he told people the truth. Now listen, in our day, in our age, we desperately need Christians to stand up and be counted. Christians who are willing to stand alone. Pastors who are willing to speak the truth in love and not tell people what they want to hear. Tell people what they need to hear. I was messing around on Twitter the other day, and somebody had posted a video by this Catholic priest, and he was talking about how the LGBTQI? community needs to see that the Bible, although it has some harsh things to say about homosexuality, it is a welcoming book for the LGBTQI community, and they need to see that God welcomes them in their sin to Him. And he's not talking about welcoming them to repent of their sin and come to Jesus. He's talking about God accepting their sin and welcoming them in their sin. God doesn't ever do that. God hates sin. Jesus had to die a brutal death on the cross because of your sin and my sin and our sin. You know, when the cup was coming to Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." What was in the cup? The cup was the sin of the whole world that was going to be put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And he cried out, "Abba, Father, let this cup pass from me." He was sweating blood. He was under such stress and such strain and such pressure that the capillaries in his face broke, and he began to sweat drops of blood on a cold night, because in just a few hours, Peter's going to be warming himself by a charcoal fire. It was a cold night, and Jesus is there sweating blood because the sin of the whole world is being thrust upon him. We are doing people a great disservice when we lie to them and tell them what they want to hear, not what they need to hear. The largest church in America doesn't ever talk about sin. The pastor, Joel Osteen, he says, "Well, we never talk about sin. I don't want to make people feel bad. I just want to encourage them and make them feel good." Well, you may have heard me say this before. Listen, if you go to the doctor and he examines you and he does a bunch of tests on you, you're feeling poorly, and he discovers you have cancer and it's a treatable cancer, but that's not going to be good news for you to hear that you have cancer. So he lies to you and tells you you're okay. Here's a bottle of sugar pills. Just take one of those and you'll be fine. And 6 months later, you're dead. And you could have been successfully treated for this cancer and you could have lived, but he didn't tell you the truth. That guy is doing you a grave disservice. He is not showing you true love because he's lying to you. We have a host of preachers who are lying to people, and they're deceived and deceiving. Sometimes they know that they're lying and they just continue to do it because they want the praise of men, like the Pharisees. They perform their righteous acts outwardly. And why did they do it? For the praise of men. Jesus said, "Okay, you have your reward in full. You wanted the praise of men? That's what you got." We have guys who know what they're doing is wrong, yet they continue to do it. And they start to believe the lies of the devil, that this is your lane. This is what God's called you to do. You're just here to encourage people. You are leading people astray if you're not speaking the truth in love and if you're not calling men to repentance. The Apostle Paul's message was repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. He was solemnly testifying to both Jews and Greeks of those two things, repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. When John the Baptist began his ministry, what did he say? Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. When Jesus began his public ministry, how did it start? Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. God is now declaring, Acts 17, that all men everywhere should repent. Why? Because he has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead. That's the proof. Because God raised Jesus from the dead, God is going to raise every single person from the dead. You can't escape from God, and he is going to judge every unrepentant sinner. And if you'll put your sins, if you'll put your faith, rather, where God puts your sins on the Lord Jesus Christ, you can be saved and set free, and Romans 8:1 can apply to you. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and of death. You must put your faith where God puts your sins on the Lord Jesus. It's repentance and faith that leads to eternal life, salvation with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't repent, Jesus said, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. And it is heartbreaking to see that we have so many churches who have caved in to the LGBTQ community. And so many pastors don't talk about homosexuality as a sin. My associate, Dwayne Mitchell, was telling a story last night in our church service, and he was talking about these little girls that were at a vacation Bible school, and the teacher was teaching about sexuality and said homosexuality was a sin, and they began to cry, and they said, we have never heard that before, that homosexuality was a sin. I thought that was normal. I thought that was fine. No, it's a sin. But see, churches don't talk about that. We don't want to offend anybody. And so, listen, a pastor is called to comfort the afflicted and to afflict the comfortable. And if people are comfortable in sin, they need to be afflicted. They need to know that God hates sin. Debbie and I talked yesterday about the dating relationship, the dating game of important verse for those dating to remember is Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4. Let the marriage bed be undefiled, for fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Hey, Galatians 6, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. The one who sows to his own flesh shall from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit shall from the Spirit reap eternal life. We need to remember that, and we need to stand up and be counted and tell people not what they want to hear, but what they need to hear. And we need to have real commitment to the truth of the Word of God, because things are going to happen just like the Lord said they were going to happen. Judgment is going to come. Revelation chapter 6 and onward, that is coming one day, and the tribulation is coming, and the seven seals of judgment and the seven trumpets of judgment and the seven bowls of judgment are coming, and people who die without Christ are going to spend eternity in hell. And that is the gospel truth, and we don't want anyone to go there. So we must stand up and be counted. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Dare to be a Noah. Well, listen, we're getting ready to take a break, but when we come back, I'll be taking your calls. The number to call is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. I'd love to talk to you about the faith of Noah and how you and I can make a difference as we speak the truth in love as we stand up for Jesus, as we suffer hardship, as a good soldier of Christ Jesus, as Paul told Timothy. Listen, the number one thing that God wants from you and from me is faithfulness. It is required of stewards that a man be found faithful. We're going to take a break. Don't go away.
If you sense that the world's about to go to war, if you perceive that the world's dividing broadly into two camps, East versus West, you'd be right. If you perceive that Russia and China are working together, you'd be right again. I'm Sam Rohr, host of Stand in the Gap Weekend, heard Sunday from 6 to 7 p.m. Central Time. Join me and geopolitical expert and advisor Jeff Nyquist as we consider the Eastern Tyrants Arise, the Chinese-Russian Coalition, Sunday from 6 to 7 p.m. Central Time.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at afn.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at afn.net.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
The credit card debt happened when my daughter was born. I was using one credit card account to roll over into another credit card account, and it was snowballing.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813.
When I first called Trinity, the representative understood the need based on the situation. They were great people to work with. From the first phone call that I made, they had me on a track to mitigate the credit card debt.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
Working with Trinity gave me the ability to save thousands of dollars. My name's Doug, and thanks to Trinity, I'm debt-free for keeps.
Call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813. That's 1-800-788-1813.
There's a culture war raging in America, and like it or not, we're in the battle.
Sandy Rios, host of Sandy Rios in the Morning.
For 40-plus years, American Family Association has been fighting for biblical values in America. We've been here to shine the light of Christ into a dark world and to stand against the evil of the day. And by God's grace, we're making a difference. One vital way that you can join forces with us is through a charitable gift annuity with the AFA Foundation. The charitable gift annuity will benefit you and help ensure AFA is in the fight for years to come.
You can learn more about charitable annuities and other financial products at afafoundation.net or call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345. The AFA Foundation, the Financial Stewardship Division of the American Family Association.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. I'm Pastor Jeff Shreve. We've been talking about Noah. Jesus said, "For the coming of the Son of Man will be just like the days of Noah." And Noah was a man of faith, and Noah was a man of courage, and Noah was a preacher of righteousness. He was willing to stand alone. How we desperately need Noahs in our day today, as we are in the days of Noah, and things are getting darker and darker as we look around our nation, as we look around our world. And God is calling pastors, He's calling Christians, young and old, to take a stand and to be mighty warriors for the Lord, to be watchmen on the wall, to sound the alarm, to be faithful until death. Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840, and I'd love to take your call. Right now we have Lee from Virginia on the line. Lee, welcome to Real Truth for Today. Lee, are you there? Okay. Well, we'll see if we can get Lee. We'll go to Chuck from Texas. Chuck, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yeah, hi. I was just talking about my to my wife about Revelation chapter 6, verse 2. It says the rider on the white horse has a bow, and the word bow means is toxon in Greek. It means, but used to mean bow and arrow, but when they found out by dipping the arrow into poison, they got a higher kill rate. Eventually, it just came to mean poison, the poison itself, toxin or toxic. And if you're going to describe a hypodermic needle 2,000 years ago, you're going to use an arrow up with poison on the end. And he's given a corona, and he goes out conquering and to conquer. So the seals have been are breaking, and we're about to see war. We're already even seeing civil strife en masse across the entire globe. And then we have glooming nuclear war even. It's war everywhere. And then rumors. And then we have inflation, which will cause famine. So the seals are breaking. And if you're going to wake up a church, what better way than to explain to them this?
Yeah. That's an interesting way to look at Revelation 6. I would see
it's just the Greek word. It's the Greek word, Bill. It's just the Greek word, Jeff. That's it.
Right.
Well, the Greek word toxon. Toxon is the stumbling block.
Well, he who sat on it had a bow. There's a person that's sitting on the white horse. That's the Antichrist. And the Antichrist has not yet been revealed. Now, in my understanding of end times, there's going to be a rapture of the church before the revealing of the Antichrist. And the first seal that he breaks is going to be that seal that the Antichrist breaks. So we would probably differ on that, Chuck, but I agree with you that we need to wake up the church because the Lord is coming soon. And, you know, there needs to be a passion in sharing the truth, just as Peter on the day of Pentecost. It says, with many other words, he solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. We definitely live in a perverse generation, and we need to let people know, hey, there is salvation in none other. There is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved, and that is the name of Jesus, and he will save anybody who will come to him in repentance and faith. So, Chuck, I want to thank you for calling in, and thank you for listening to the program. And God bless you, my brother. Well, we have Lee back from Virginia. Lee, welcome to... I'm sorry. We got Lee coming, but we have right now Joshua from Virginia. Joshua, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Pastor Jeff, hey, how are you doing, sir?
Good. How are you, my friend?
Oh, fantastic, man. I love your knowledge and your heart and your passion. I love to listen to you, my brother.
Thank you.
I have a couple of comments, and I'm curious about what your thoughts are on them. So when we talk about as days of Noah, right? Noah didn't know when the flood would come, right?
No, he didn't.
Except for when we get to Genesis chapter 7, verse 4, Yahweh or God told him in 7 days he would flood the earth. So he did know 1 week before when it would happen,
right?
But he didn't know before that, right? And I'm just curious if maybe it's a situation where nobody knows, but as we get closer, maybe God will reveal to his elect when it's to come. And I guess that's a thought. The other thought, because, I mean, I guess if you think about it, when Jesus actually does return, everyone's going to know the day and the hour he returns when it happens. But anyways, my second comment was,
Well, Joshua, they won't know. They'll know that it's getting close, but yeah, Jesus said they wouldn't know the day or the hour. You know, the Lord always comes, he comes in the nick of time. And, I think in the Old Testament, even in the New Testament, you have stories where it just seems like he's not coming. He's not going to intervene. But then he does at the 11th hour, boom, then he comes. I've told people this. It's not original to me, but it's so true. God, from our perspective, seems so slow to move. But when the Lord moves, he moves rapidly. And so, the cry in the Psalms, how long, O Lord, before you come, before you judge? God is patient and God's timing is not our timing. But when God does, when he does determine, I'm going to do this, then it comes quickly. So I didn't mean to cut you off. Keep going.
No, it's okay. It's okay. I just was curious about that. And the other thing I was thinking about is if we look at how Jesus in his first coming came specifically on the appointed days of the Father, on Passover, as the Passover lamb, as a sacrifice, unleavened bread, taking away the sins of the world. He rose on the day of first fruits, and then his Holy Spirit was given on the day of Shavuot, Feast of Weeks, or Pentecost. He fulfilled everything exactly, specifically. So wouldn't it be within reason to assume that his coming and the very next thing he does will be on the Feast of Trumpets, because that's when the fall feasts occur, to align with what he's already done and what he said he will do? Although we may not know the exact day and the exact hour, is it a fair assumption that it could potentially be on a Feast of Trumpets in the future?
Great point, and I think so. I've had conversations with very learned men on this subject, and they don't think so, because they say then you could pinpoint it, and the rapture is not going to be a day that you can pinpoint. But it does seem to me, I kind of feel like you do, Joshua, it does seem to me that it would fall into, all the other things fell into the feasts, and we know when the feasts come. So the Feast of Trumpets in September, it does seem like that would fit. But I think good and godly people can disagree on that, but I think it's good to study that. And I would encourage all the listeners, look up the feasts, the seven feasts of Israel, and see how those were fulfilled in Christ. There's still some that are yet to be fulfilled, but it's exciting to see how the Lord fulfilled all those in his death, burial, resurrection, and his soon return. So, hey, Joshua, thank you for calling in today. Thank you for your encouragement, and I appreciate that question. I think it's a good question, and it's good for us to study that. So God bless you, my brother. Well, we have, maybe this time, Lee from Virginia. Lee, do we have you?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
My phone had went dead. I agree with you that Noah was a great man, and because I speak at some churches, and can you imagine speaking for decades, like you said, maybe up to 100 years, and not having one convert? How disheartening that would have been.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've been speaking at two little churches just to try to keep them open. It ranges anywhere from 9 to 15 people. And I never had one convert until here lately. The last couple of years, I've had three people. It's really encouraged me when I think of Noah. He didn't stop, you know, and he never had one. And talking about the delay of the Lord, you know, the Bible says that we're not children of the night, that the day of the Lord, his coming, should take us unaware, and that we can tell when it's near, even at the door. So while we will not know the day and hour, you know, Reverend, everybody that I talk to, every preacher that I listen to, that I have confidence in, like you, everybody seems to feel that we are in the last days.
Well, and I appreciate that. I appreciate your kind words. Lee, a couple of things that you said that are so true. Noah didn't see any results other than his family, and he continued to stay faithful. And it's not faithful for a week or a month or a year. It's for decades, for 100+ years. And seeing no one respond, just all the scoffing and the mocking, and to keep staying faithful to the Lord, that is amazing to me. I look forward to meeting Noah in heaven and shaking his hand and thanking him for his faithfulness and for his ministry. And thank you for your faithfulness, Lee, and for your ministry, because that can be difficult, what you're doing. And seeing three come to Christ just lately, man, what a praise. And so may God bless you. May God continue to use you. Well, we have Jeff on the line from Texas. Jeff, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yes, good morning. I was calling back. I called a couple of days ago with a prayer request for me and my wife, Angela, and I was calling to let everybody know and to thank everybody for their prayers, because not only did she not file, but she has asked me to come home.
So, wow.
Praise the Lord, and I just wanted to thank everybody for their prayers. I know you have many listeners that put me on their prayer requests, and you did too, and I just wanted to call and thank y'all and tell you that I love y'all, and God bless y'all, and thank y'all so much.
Amen. Well, thank you for doing that, Jeff, and what a great praise, and what a great reminder to all of us that God is a God who answers prayer. And God says, you know, call to me and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things which you do not know. And we have not because we ask not. So, Jeff, may God continue to just bring healing with you and your wife, and the issues and things like that would be able to be resolved. And may he give you wisdom so that you can love her in the way that she would receive it, and be the husband and the leader that God wants you to be. So God bless you, my brother. Thank you for giving us that update. Well, we have Patricia from Mississippi. Patricia, welcome to Real Truth for today.
Hi. Listening to you, what you were saying about Noah being prepared. We all have to be prepared. I want to let you know that we can be prepared. I was taught about the Lord from a baby. I'm 64 years old. I'm still a virgin. My mother taught me abstinence. And I just thank God, you know, it makes a difference when you live holy. You have communication with God, and he's there for you. He helps you to live holy, and he protects you. That's my comments on today. We got to be ready. Don't make excuses, because God's there to help us.
Amen. Well, thank you for Patricia. Thanks for calling in, and thanks for sharing that. And may God bless you, and I thank you for your faithfulness and your desire to please the Lord and to live a life that is pure and holy before him. Well, we have Roger from Tennessee on the line. Roger, welcome to Real Truth for today.
Yes, brother. So I was thinking about if you knew the time or the hour. It said it comes in a time when you think not. And he's going to come like a thief in the night. So if we try to pinpoint it and we've got it figured out, then the Lord may come way sooner or way later.
Right.
You know, he says a thousand years is like a day, and a day is like a thousand years. So it's only been 2 days since Jesus was here.
Right.
So what if it takes another, thousand years? What's that going to do to our theology? We see all these signs, and Russia's doing this, and Ukraine, and all the craziness of the world, but what did our Christian brothers think in 1948?
Sure. What did they think in the 60s under Nero?
Whole world was in uproar, and there's a man acting like the Antichrist.
Right. That's true. Well, here's the thing, Roger. The Lord wants us, he wants every generation to live as if he is coming back at any moment. Because the moment that we quit living like that and we say, well, Jesus isn't coming back for, 50 years, 100 years, he's not coming back in my lifetime, that's not a good thing. And so Paul thought the Lord was coming back in his lifetime. All those guys did. And God wants us to live like that. Because as Adrian Rogers said, I've never forgotten this, he said, we ought to live as if Jesus died yesterday, rose this morning, and is coming back tonight. You keep the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ and the return of Christ so near and dear to your heart. And you remember Acts chapter 1, where the disciples said to Jesus before he ascended to heaven, Lord, is it at this time that you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel? They thought all that was coming just right then. And he said, it's not for you to know times and epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and even to the remotest parts of the earth. So that's our job. We don't know the times or epochs. It's not given to us. No man knows the day or the hour. The Lord just says, be ready, because at an hour when you think not, the Son of Man comes. So look up, be watchful, knowing that our redemption is drawing near. Well, thanks so much for being with us today on Real Truth for Today. And let me encourage you, dare to be a Noah. Be faithful, speak the truth in love, and don't back down. It's too important, and God wants to use you. Shine for Christ and share what great things the Lord has done for you. I'll be with you again tomorrow. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.